Hello, everybody, and welcome to Roms of Baghdad. I'm your host today, Thowden, and we are here again on this nice 26th of March, 2017. Joining me, my dear, dear co-hosts, Optics, DJ.
Hello.
And Mr. Internet Pizza, Jake.
Yeah, that's me.
How are we doing today, fellas?
Sleepy. I am sleepy. The daylight savings thing hit UK and Europe now. So that was a thing that we have to deal with.
So it's now 1 hour forward for you? You lost an hour of sleep?
Yeah, we lost an hour.
Yeah.
And I did that fun thing of staying up until 1 a.m. and then all the clocks instantly changed to 2 a.m. and you're like, ah.
That's true. Yeah. Huh. Well, that probably sucks. That's inconvenient. But at least maybe we can record an hour earlier now. So that's the only good news. Maybe. Who knows? Yeah. It's been a pretty, it's been a week of a lot of video games going on, but not a lot of, things happening in the world of video games. So that's cool. It's kind of a catch-up week, maybe.
It's also Mother's Day today in the UK, at least. I don't know when everyone else does it. I know it's not the same time as America. When is American Mother's Day?
May 14th this year, which is a Sunday.
Mothering Sunday.
Yeah. Sunday, church, something. Go to church service, then mothers, I don't know. They like to do that kind of thing. Because the United States, something. So you get, what you get? You got shoes? You got shoes for her? What you get?
No. We have had a weird, I don't know if it's just a general issue. On research, it looks like everyone just has this issue, but our rug in the living room just loves to run away. Just like starts crumpling up and everything. So
what?
I bought a few things that might fix that.
Your rug is running away?
What?
Uh-huh.
What?
Running
what?
Away from us. It's when like...
Then you better go catch it.
Yep. Well played.
But it's really annoying because it sort of like creeps in weird positions and then starts like crumpling up. And if you don't keep pulling it like almost every 3 days or a week or something, that kink is just going to be there permanently.
I have so many. Is it wood floor or something like that? And then you have rugs on top?
Apparently it can happen on either wood or carpet. It's happening on carpet for us.
You have a
rug on top of a carpet.
Yeah,
yes.
Rug on top of a carpet. Okay, that's okay. Style choice, maybe not what I would have gone with.
Hey, you gotta make the middle table the prominent area.
I mean,
I'll just put that thing on the standard ass colored carpet.
Okay, true. Okay, fair. Fair. Yeah, we make a fair point, sir.
Who puts a table on carpet?
Why wouldn't you put a table in your living room or anything? Don't you have a table there?
I mean, we got a coffee table.
Yeah.
Are you talking? Okay.
Specifically,
it's not the same as a.
Yeah, I mean, I would consider like an ottoman or something like that, like a. What kind of table are we talking about? Like a full dinner table? Like a full, like, you can sit four people at it? Or like a
lower coffee table, as you
mentioned.
Like
a light stand, maybe?
No, a bit longer. Quite a bit longer. Like the same length as, say, maybe a 2-3-seater sofa. So it stretches across, holds all your shit when you need to, when you're watching shit.
Okay. Oh, okay. I think I know what you're talking about. One of those.
Maybe holds
a vase. Okay. What?
Bars.
Okay. Your house is weird.
Holds
I just
want to
be honest. Candles? I could dig some candles.
Want to get them.
Yeah. Or maybe you just want your house to smell nice, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Get in the mood to play video games. I like to burn a candle every once in a while.
Is the candle flavor? What is the video game candle flavor?
Well, actually, I'm going to be releasing in the next few weeks a line of video game themed candles. But I don't know. I would go with something like a... Something, fresh, like an outdoorsy kind of, like a pine, maybe a little pine, if it's a...
So is that to mimic, like, the nutrients and the fresh air that we would get?
We don't live out... Yeah, I mean, we play in The Witcher, you want to light up a nice, like, sandalwood or something like that, make it smell like it all immersed in your video game experience?
All the goodness of the outside in here.
Yep.
No bugs or anything to harass you either.
No sunlight annoying your face and skin.
I've got these vitamin C tablets, or D, whichever one it is.
I mean, why ever leave your house, really? I mean,
can you make the video game candles emit a vaporizing vitamin D scent so when you inhale it, you gain your vitamins?
We're patenting that same idea. We're working on it now. It's going to be out next June. We want to make sure our customers stay alive and buy more candles.
What the fuck are we talking about?
I don't know anymore.
Let's talk shit.
We're just talking a lot of mess right now. I'll be honest with you folks at home.
Release it just before
E3. There's not much news. And so, like, we're only going to be able to talk about, like, 15 video games. So, I guess I'll start then, speaking of video games. Hey, TrueScape, you know that game you mentioned the other game last time, Jake?
Yeah, I mentioned it when Jake left. Yeah, I mentioned it, but I kind of got the idea from Jake, but he wasn't here at the time.
So yeah, that mobile game where you use a skateboard but with your two fingers on it. That game's actually really good. Like, it's actually pretty decent. I enjoyed messing around with it. Yeah, it's pretty tricky. It's like I think the way they do ollies and stuff is cool. The way you have to use your one finger to kind of spin the board and stuff. Like, it's a lot easier than I thought it would be, and it's pretty enjoyable. I don't know if I could see it in, like, a full-fledged Tony Hawk or something like that, but the ideas seem pretty decent. Like, it's kind of perfect form factor for a mobile device. It works really well. It's like, scratch that itch. Go ahead.
I haven't checked their Kickstarter, but that's one of the things when I was playing it of, like, this can slightly be adapted to a skate-type game over a Tony Hawk game where it's like, hey, put this marker down, and then you're just going to tap away and then do this line, this, like, sweet rail to plant a line or something.
Yep.
And then restart at that marker a bunch of fucking times until you get a sweet line going.
Yeah, it definitely reminded me of those handheld skate, whatever they're called. I'm not going to remember it again. I think I mentioned this last time, but it really did remind me of playing with those things when I was in high school and middle school, where you just, like, flipping the little skateboard around and you use your little finger. It's pretty good. I don't know. It's a good concept. It's not very, like, I don't think it's very deep, but it's fun. If you like those kind of games, it kind of scratched that itch for me.
Yeah, that's been around for a while.
Yeah, I bet it has.
I think whatever they're going to do to, like, try to hook it up to a TV is kind of stupid.
Yeah, I just don't know if it would work.
Because they're gonna, it looks like they're using the phone as a controller, which is like, no, dude.
So their, like, thumbnail on the Kickstarter on the left has a guy with a Xbox controller. So hopefully, I think one of their things is they'll add controller support.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I think they could do that.
Also, they're only $12,000 Australian dollars out of $650,000 Australian dollars.
Yeah.
Which is probably like 200 US dollars.
Got him.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like one of those situations where maybe it's me, but the control scheme they have right now works so well for mobile that trying to transition it over to an Xbox controller, like, I get it. Like, if people just want to skate four. But I don't know if that solves the big problem.
Like, if they came out and instead of led with the whole mobile on this big screen thing, they just said, hey, look at this controller stuff. Wink, wink. This is basically a skate clone. I think they'd be getting a lot more backing.
Yeah.
Because their actual, like, big screen thing doesn't look too bad. Like, it's a 3D world. It looks like a cheaper version of Skate that I'd happily play at this point in time.
Well, the thing is, with True Skate, it's just kind of you flip the board in a random fucking direction. And then it does whatever the fuck it wants to do, and then you try to catch it, and you land, and it just says, you did a quadruple kickflip 360. It's like not like Skate. It's like a physics tool, like a physics toy that you play with, basically. Right. It's not...
Yeah, they're two very different things.
There's bullshit in there, but they're fucking impossible. the control scheme for that game does not suit itself for doing actual, like, objectives and stuff.
So your whole playthrough, you found that it's easier to just fucking flick around on the screen rather than aim
what,
for.
What playthrough? Okay, there's no flip. Game. There's no story or anything. Around. It's just, yeah.
Like, you're not going to go for a tray flip to no slide or something. Like, that's not something you're planning to do every time.
Well, I mean, after a while, yes. But the learning curve to do that kind of stuff is steep.
Did you like my lingo usage?
No. Not very good lingo usage.
Get a caballero spin. A half cab.
Are you speaking half Italian now? 16. What are you doing? Caballero spin.
Those are skateboard words, yes.
No, that's not a skate. That can't be. Caballero spin?
that's the last name of a very famous skateboarder, yeah.
Okay.
I'm talking about that blood slide 420, bruh.
Okay.
I'm talking about that nose blunt slide.
Oh shit.
Yeah, straight to the dome.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a cool little toy thing, but I don't know if I would say it's like, I don't know, world ending, world changing or whatever, but it's a lot of fun to mess around with. They're not going to hit their goal, so whatever.
I doubt. It's a nice little mobile app to futz around for like 5-10 minutes or something.
Yeah, exactly. You don't sit down and play that game for long amounts of time.
Yeah, that's cool.
And I want to know how they planned on, like, we're going to make this character model match up with these insane bullshit flip tricks you can do in the mobile game. It's like, what? Excuse me? No, you're not.
I kind of hope they do the whole, like, that model is just going to hover above in the air for maybe a certain period of time.
Kind of like, was it Tony Hawk's Project 8 or something? Where it was like super slow-mo and you just make the board do a million flips and shit?
Jeez. That thing. It's a cool concept, but holy crap, it was busted.
That'd be pretty great. I won't lie. Magic board stuff would be fun. Hey, but new ideas to a genre that nobody seems to be wanting to develop for. That's cool.
Right.
It's skate. It's not a new idea.
It's true skate, though. You know? Different control schemes for the skating genre, you know?
What if they just called it True Skate 4?
Yes! it'd be pretty good. That seems like a joke they could make. True Skate for you or something like that. It'd be pretty funny.
That's a good way to get a letter from EA in the mail.
What would the letter say? Hello.
Knock it off.
We'll come for you. We're dealing with this Mass Effect Andromeda stuff. Have a good day. Very cordial.
We're not making Skate 4.
We're never gonna make Skate 4. Those people that made Skate 4 no longer work for this company. I have no transition out of this to a different game, but you and me have been playing Motorsport Manager, DJ. Motorsport. That's where you drive.
Motorsport. Yes, I like the Motorsport.
Yes, Motorsports. It's a game where you take control of the F1 team, and then you try to race the speedy race cars around the track. And sometimes you win, and sometimes you lose. I don't know.
Really? Like, you're getting a sometimes win? I got lucky with one win.
You won? I never win. I got ninth place once, which was all right. I did pretty all right with that.
I can't remember how I won, to be honest. I think I just had a really good car on the day. Right, that's it. So my guy fucked up at the start and just went dead last, but he was on medium, the like longer period set of tires. So I just told him to cool it down and slow way the fuck down and just have the longest stint of his life at the start of the race. And then like he only had to do like two stops, but there were two stops on the quicker tires when there was like a ton of grip on the track. And that's how he won, because he was able to get quick speed.
I almost won, but then somebody hit a light pole or something, and we lost power for like 15 minutes.
What?
So, I was in the lead. My lady driver was like driving real fast. She was in first place, had a nice lead on it, and then the power went out. And that kind of crushes you.
Game's really realistic.
Yeah, very realistic. The person that crashed into the thing out there. Crashing the light pole, in fact, was the person in the game. It's really weird.
If you run into a light pole in the video game, you run into a light pole in real life.
Makes sense. Someone in GP3 class fucking trips over a power cord, I'm sure.
Yep. I don't know.
Is that like the fucking new guy league?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I guess we can backtrack it a little bit. Motorsport Manager doesn't have like a Formula One license, but it's basically like taking homage to Formula One, and then it's lower leagues of like, I think they're just called like F2 and F3 now instead of GP1, GP2, and all that stuff. There's like two other lower tiers. In this game, they're called like the Europe League and like the International Asia Pacific. Cup.
Yeah.
Asia Pacific, yeah. And then there's obviously like, this is the F1, this is the middle tier, this is the lower tier.
And here we have Mercedes. And
kind of.
I mean, Red Horse.
I mean, pretty much. Like, they even have like sponsorship deals, and some of them are pretty close. I can't remember right off the top of my head, but I was like, oh, wait, that sounds like... Oh, I thought it was like Dunkin' Donuts. It was like something. I
saw that one. I'll get to why I don't know any of those. So it takes so much to that, and then you're kind of like the race director. So you have to manage the drivers, you have to manage finances, you have to manage like where you expect yourself to be, the development of car parts, how you're improving the car over the year, how you're upgrading the HQ of the company so like you can get better testing facilities and factory facilities for better designing in the future. It's one of those kind of games. And then you have X amount of days before each race, and then you have to bring what you've built up to the race, and slowly but progressively your car should hopefully get better. But every other team is also upgrading at the same time. There's like a couple cool features about this that I like a hell of a lot. One is they include this, there's a bunch of personality traits everywhere. So like a lot of like scenarios where people can lose morale or gain morale, get pissed off with the team or gain with the team. So for example, one of my drivers was like the hot shit in this league, but because he lost, like he was in like ninth position for three races in a row, his morale was at zero. And he was like, yo, I'm looking for different teams to get me up. Then he won, and now his morale's at like 80%, and I'm like, well, fuck you, dude. You could leave if you want.
Yeah.
There's also scenarios where, because you're the race director, you can vote on all the rules in the leagues. So that's something that's really cool, where, say, the front wing or the suspension is all spec parts that everyone has the exact same item on. You can set up a vote to say, hey, I want front wings to be custom designed in the next year, and then every race director kind of gets a vote, or they can abstain and gain a vote for the next voting session. And there's lots of generic rules that you start off with each league, and they tinker and change. So, for example, one rule that did get changed for next season for me is, instead of a safety car, we're going to have virtual safety cars in 2017. So that's going to help cars that... So the difference with that is, when you have a safety car come out, everyone bunches up all at once right behind the safety car. So the slower cars gain all that gap that they lost, whereas with a virtual safety car, every car is electronically programmed to go at, say, 60 km/h. So the gaps maintain. So lots of little nuances that I like a lot in Formula One and motorsport, watching that sort of stuff, is recreated in this game.
Yeah, it can even be like in mine, one of the votes we had was on what races we wanted for next year. So instead of having the Black Sea, we voted to have a race in Arizona. Which is weird because it's the European League, but at the same time, I said, why not? Let's move the European League over to the United States slowly but surely, because that's not weird at all.
Did it pass?
Yeah, it passed. Of course it did. Everybody voted for it. I don't know why, but everyone was like, yeah, man, let's go over to Arizona. I don't know. Let's go to Phoenix.
If you build it, they will come.
Right.
People in Arizona love the European League F1 racing. I don't...
Just keep the name. Just your long-term goal is not to build the cars up anywhere. It's to make the Europe League the American League.
Yeah, uh-huh. American League Soccer, and then we're going to have American League F1 racing. It's going to be great. We're all very excited for this opportunity to be I don't know. There's just so many. It reminds me of old Madden story modes, like where you just get lots of, I don't know, you get interviewed, and then you get like, hey, hi, we're here from, hey, this guy's really down. How do you want to help him out? Let's throw him a big party because he's really down. Let's spend some money on his birthday, which is cool. It's just like, I don't know. It adds a lot of flavor to it that, I don't know, keeps it very interesting. And plus, I don't know.
Right.
I'm kind of drawn in by the way they do the races. Like it's this kind of 3D camera, yeah, over the track, and it's really fun to watch. It's like, wow, maybe I should get into F1 at some point because that was a lot of fun to watch.
It's good. I will tell you, my very basic to mid-tier knowledge of F1 is helping me a lot. So I know things like undercutting. I know things like kind of when to pause, when to brake, what oversteer, understeer kind of is, how to adjust cars at the start for handling and stuff like that. So my cars are usually pretty decent. It's just the drivers suck when they actually get on it.
Do you like change the push and stuff like that at random times in a race?
A lot.
Okay.
A lot. So like, for example, if you want to get super nitty gritty into it, which I haven't got to yet, you can sort of like, you know, the engine section, you can change the engine, how the driver interacts with their engine speed. Like if they want to overtake, you get more engine power, but they use more fuel, or you can tell them to sort of back up, which saves their tires, but also saves loads of fuel. So it's kind of like, if you're on a straight, I would say you can do the whole nitty gritty thing of like, hey, push it to overtake, because then they're going to get the top speed as quick as possible. And then in the corners, they may not need that high powered engine because their lower gears are not going to be as useful. So you can get super nitty gritty and save a lot of fuel that way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm not there yet. And also you need to know the track quite well. And with the Europe League of having like 12 minutes, you get 3 laps at most to analyze the cars.
Yeah, like I don't know, it's hard to like figure out. Like I watch the computer sometimes moving there, like, hey, this up or down, and I just like, what, can I just put them all on all the red and just let them ride? That's what I do,
yeah,
most of the time. Hey man, I get 9th place, I'm doing all right, we're in the middle of the field, we have a chance to win the thing, whatever.
Middle of the field's good. It's fine. It's good for your first season. You'll learn from there anyway. And the other thing I should have mentioned is what I also like about this is it has Steam Workshop support. So the reason why I don't know any of your sponsors was the first Steam, well, the only workshop mod that I added was Real Sponsors. So I think it just replaces the names and the stickers. So instead of your fake Dunkin' Donuts, I legit have Dunkin' Donuts on my car, or like Siemens and OZ Racing, stuff like that.
Yeah, that's they got. I mean, it's a free weekend right now, is I guess why I'm playing it. But it's just like, it's a lot of cool stuff, like free DLC for it and stuff. I was surprised how much I enjoyed it. For it being free, it was pretty great. I'll probably pick it up at some point.
So with the free DLC, they also included creating your own team and stuff like that. So I wouldn't be surprised that if you actually look at the Steam Workshop, there's a mod for, hey, I already know there's a mod for F1 2017 spec cars because I saw that. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's stuff like, hey, here's the F1 list of all the cars to the F1 that's this year and stuff like that. Like, here's Ferrari, here's Mercedes, because Steam Workshop's crazy like that.
Does Steam Workshop have a bunch of anime pictures for people? Because please, please, it would be so amazing for my racer to be just the worst. I want them all to look the worst. That's all I want. It'd be great, my team.
I want to add the Miku to my car now.
Yes. You wanted to drive the car? You want a Miku driver? But the mechanic? Everybody's Miku.
Everyone is Miku.
Yeah, everybody's Miku. That'd be pretty great. Oh, God.
Instead of a Spaniard League.
It's so good. Oh, man. I can't wait to play more of it once once the weekend's over, it's a lot of fun. If you had said to me you're really going to enjoy a F1 game, I would have said you're crazy.
Like a semi F1 game as well, not just like, well, F1 2016 and stuff, you can get super semi into the racing, but like a simulation strategy kind of F1 game.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Give it a try. It's still free. Now it won't be free after you hear this podcast, but it's pretty great. If you like that kind of thing, I'm sure you probably already heard about it and love it, but yeah, it's cool.
I would say if you're an F1 head or if you like kind of racing in general, because they also have the GT, the Japanese series, I think it's GT cars, GT racing cars, that's DLC. That's not reduced, so that's like £7, probably like $10. So I'm probably going to pick that up at a later date.
Yeah, and I think they're giving away right now the phone version of it, or the phone add-on version of Motorsport Manager, at least on Android. So I don't know if you had it. I don't know if it will still be, but if you really want to get into it, they have a phone thing too. So you could get the phone thing, and you could become a serious F1 guy. You can live your life from 0 to 30 at a time. Something, something, something. Oh man, we should just do Fast and the Furious in there. That'd be great. It'd be great. Name the character Dom or something like that. It'd be great. All right. And the only other game I played was Enter the Gungeon. So that's a roguelike from the...
No?
You don't think so? Yeah, no, it is. It's a roguelike. It's hey man, it's a rogue. I mean, it's not really... You enter a dungeon, it's filled with guns, kill everybody. It's kind of a bullet helly game, so there's a lot of bullets on the screen. That game's hard.
Is this just Tower of Guns?
No, it's a top down. It's not a first person. Yeah, it's a top down. You roll. It's like Binding of Isaac, basically, but with kind of the bullet hell, tons of bullets on screen.
Yes, bullet hell, we got it.
Yes, tons of bullets on screen.
Is this the Rami Ishmael game? Vlambia.
No, it's the Dodge Roll. It's published by Devolver Digital. There you go. It might be Lambeer. I don't really know. I don't think it is, though. I don't know. It's cool. I've made some progress. I've made it down to level 4 of the Enter the Gungeon. It's very difficult. I die a lot. Like, I think like the first 10 times I went out, I didn't even beat the first boss, so... you kind of unlock stuff as you go, as roguelikes do, and I don't know, I've been having a lot of fun with just kind of popping into that every once in a while and playing around trying to get further. I found a gun that shoots fish. It's called the Barrel.
Okay.
There's also a gun that's just the Proton Pack from Ghostbusters. I like that a lot.
That's alright. Yeah, I was thinking of Nuclear Throne by Vlambia. Sounds similar.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. The enemy, it's colorful. I like the soundtrack. The opening soundtrack for it is a great song. It's like way too epic for a game that is just kind of a roguelike. I don't know. What else can I say? It's cool. Try it out if you want something like that.
A lot of people really like this game. I just haven't got around to getting it or playing it.
You should give it a try if you can deal with bullet hell shooters. If you can't, you're gonna die a lot like I do. God, I die so much. It's bad. I'm bad at bullet hell games. Just generally, I'm not a very good bullet hell kind of guy. Yeah. So that's all the games I played this week. DJ, tell me, did you play any other games? Something maybe that...
No. Other games?
Did you play anything else?
Did I play any other games, DJ?
I don't know, did I?
Seems like you played some Zelda. Probably still playing some of that Zelda.
I'm fully in the mode of I could finish Ganon if I want to, but I just keep finding other things to do. Like, there's just lots more areas for me to look. And I'm like 45, almost 50 hours into this game, and there's still like a bunch of things left for me to do. I feel like I'm only a third, maybe a halfway through the whole of this game, which is kind of crazy to me. And I'm still going to keep playing it.
Okay. Cool. Keep playing the Zelda. There is a game on Nintendo's platform, though, that you did get to play this week, right?
This weekend, like
yep,
an hour at a time at weird intervals. for like 5 out of the 6 sessions. Splatoon 2 had its test fire weekend beta test session fire. If you wanted more Splatoon, this is Splatoon, but it runs a lot faster, almost sort of 60. It looks a whole lot cleaner, and it just looks shinier, which is cool. I really liked what they were showing with this Splatoon 2 test fire. They kind of simulated it very similar to the Splatoon 1 test fire, mm-hmm. where they had single hour sessions throughout the weekend and only had 4 guns to choose from, like preset classes, let's say. But in the main game of Splatoon 1, you were able to customize, and then they started off with something like 10 guns, and then they added modifications to them. And by the time Japan really got into the nitty-gritty of that thing, there was like 30 different guns or something crazy.
Okay. Yeah, that's, I guess that's the one question I had was, you know, I was looking at it, and then I went back and watched a little Splatoon stuff, and it didn't seem overly different. So, like, what is your sense in, like, ways that it's different from the first game?
The first two maps, it was interesting because in the first game, there's a lot of verticality where you can paint a wall and then climb up that wall and then mm-hmm. get behind people and then start messing with them. Whereas in these two maps in the Splatoon 2 test fire, a lot of that verticality of climbing the walls just wasn't there. There was a middle zone, like an elevated middle zone in one of the maps, but that wouldn't lead you to their back spawn point area. So some stuff like that's gone in these two maps at least, and they were kind of smaller maps. We'll see in like the bigger maps if that's still present. Other than that, they had the Splat Duelies, which is new and OP as fuck. And then kind of just, it seemed like a lot of tweaks and modification to everything. Paint Roller, if like that first week, Paint Roller is probably going to be OP as hell, because people probably won't realize how to deal with them, where you are just literally a paint roller and you're just fucking trucking along, painting the floor. You can't shoot really with that thing, but if you truck and dodge and bob and weave, you can kill almost anyone with bad aim, because the game defaults to movement, like the gyroscopic movement as aiming.
Huh, okay. Okay.
Which is, you'd think that's annoying, but that is actually the best way to play Splatoon. You can turn a lot quicker than the thumbsticks allow you to do normally. When you get proper control of it, you can actually get pretty good aim. So that's where the Splat Duelies come in, where once you have that aim and stuff, like the splatter shot has bigger range, but the Splat Duelies, if you can get close to them, it's kind of like blap, blap, blap with an SMG and they're done. It's crazy. And the special thing with the Splat Duelies, the new gun dual weapon, is sort of you have a roll, which mm-hmm. seems kind of just kind of generic at first. But again, because of the gyroscopic movement, people kind of freak out when you move, or like they don't have a stationary target. So to get this big like left or right or forward roll at them freaks them out. And the Splat Duelies is one of the best like counters to a paint roller, because you can just roll backwards and they just can't get you. Like, you can pop them maybe 2 or 3 times, roll backwards, and then just kill the person.
I'll take your word for it. I having not played the first Splatoon, it seems like, I don't know, to me it looked a little, I don't know, like difficult, and like not difficult, but not a type of game that I would enjoy a lot. So I'll take your word for it that there's some cool moments at least.
It's hard to sell because A, people didn't really have Wii U's to play Splatoon 1, mm-hmm. And B, people don't have Switches to play the Splatoon 2 test fire. So it is definitely a hard sell as to why it works. But that whole like mix of A, I need to shoot people or find people to sort of shoot them so that they're on a death timer, so we get more time to actually paint the world, and oh yeah, I need to paint the world, but also recharge by swimming around in the paint that we've already laid out, It can get really super esportsy where, say, you and another person just sort of follow each other, where one's swimming in the paint that they're creating, and then when they need to refill the paint, you start shooting and they swim in the shooting line. There's lots of little ways to make like your traversal extremely quick with a team if you want it to. It's an interesting, fun game of like the kill death also doesn't matter. It's actually how much paint that you can like lay down on the floor. Squid ink, sorry, I should use the correct term.
Okay. Yeah, I'm excited for our silly conversations about Splatfest, but
yes.
Hey, you know, I'm sure it's fine. It's just one of those games that I think from the outlook, from like looking at it, it's a game you need to play to really get sense of what's going on, to get like, I don't know, the enjoyment factor at least. It's not a game that I think streams particularly well or something like that.
It's one of those like, it's one of those satisfying feelings of someone watching may not give a total shit, but when you're trucking with a paint roller and you might not see a single person or fight a single person that match, but you know you've painted that world like so many times, like you're doing so much for the team, or like you may suck with the one-on-one combat with stuff, but by helping the team actually paint the world, focusing on that and the other people shooting people down, it's actually really satisfying at times.
Yeah, I could totally see that. I mean, you know, there have been other games like that you paint stuff, like Super Mario, what is it, Super Mario, oh god, the cleaning game what? Where he's got a water pack on his back, Sunshine, there you go, and that has kind of that similar feel of like, hey, remove, like, I don't know, painting almost of, oh, getting this clean, or making it all the same color. I can see that being very addictive almost of like, no. Oh, I just gotta get this whole area nice and colored in, it's gonna be great. No.
What if you had Wario with, like, uh-huh. a reverse vacuum cleaner that's just shooting dust all over the fucking place?
That sounds awful. Why does Wario gotta do that?
You have to fight the Wario.
Oh, no.
And clean more.
Can I kill Wario? Can I put him... Can I just put him away?
What if you shoot Wario?
You know, can I fucking just roll Wario over with, like, a giant rolling pin? Because that sounds all right.
How about an Winter Olympic ice curling block?
Uh-huh. That sounds all right.
And then at its end, it explodes.
Okay, it seems impractical from a military application, but sure, all right. Sounds all right. We can do that.
That curling block is super OP because if it can go so far in a straight line, and it also leaves a trail of ink, so you just fucking truck all the way halfway across the map and you're already behind them. It's pretty great.
Yeah, okay. I might be on board with the game now. I might be, yeah. That seems alright. That seems cool. Splatoon 2. You play anything else? Is that all you played?
Yeah, that's all I can remember.
Okay. Hey, Jake, my friend.
Hey, what?
How's that Mass Effect going?
Going pretty good.
Where you at? You still in Mass Effect 2?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I did a bunch of the DLC stuff and trying to do everybody's loyalty missions and get the ship all upgraded.
Who's your lady Endor dude? Who's your wink?
You don't have one. She don't need nobody.
Oh, okay. All right. That's fair. That's fine. You know.
I'm role-playing.
Role-playing. Okay. Hey. You know. I don't know. I'm just saying Mass Effect's all about being James Tiberius Kirk. I mean, that's just what it is. You just gotta be out there, you know? You know? With the ladies. And or dudes. And or whatever you want. Alien people.
Liar was coming on to be pretty hard, and I was just like, nah.
Nah. I'm good. That's cool. Where are you at, generally? Like, where are you at story beat-wise? What you just do?
The collectors showed up and took everybody.
That's not good. All right, that part, okay. The collector.
So I'm close to that. Like, there's not a whole lot of story in Mass Effect 2 that I've seen. It's kind of told through the loyalty missions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, you can just go do this.
It's a lot of, like, character-driven stuff where you're, like, right. trying to get out there and there's certainly kind of that background of, oh no, evil's coming, but it's mainly also, like, I don't know, just kind of character-driven about the races, about the politics, about all that kind of stuff, which is cool.
Like, if I'm not mistaken, once you're given free reign, you can just go through the Omega 4 relay, right?
I believe
They'll be like, hey, you probably shouldn't do this, but you can still do it, right?
I think you can mainline that game in some ways where you could get to that point, yeah. I wouldn't recommend that, because...
It'd be like a 3-hour game, and everybody dies.
Yeah, basically. Probably. I mean, that would be... Actually, that's probably pretty true. It'd probably be pretty quick. If you really wanted to kill everybody on your team, the quickest way is probably, like, just right to the relay, pass the first, like, I don't know, few story questions there are, and then just do it.
So, the first time I played this, I got Legion, and then right after that, it pretty much was like, yo, you need to go do the end game. So I didn't get to do his loyalty mission, and he died at the end, and I was super bummed, because he wasn't in 3. Or he showed up later in 3.
Oh, right. Okay. Legion's so, the Geth dude, the robot man.
Yeah. So I got him, and he's been in my squad, because Legion's fucking dumb. And I was going to go do Tally's loyalty mission, and I was like, who should I take? And I was like, oh, I'm going to take Legion. It was immediately a problem as I walked in the doors.
Yeah, bringing the guy they hate to the loyalty mission, probably not a great plan.
I mean, I knew that's exactly what was going to happen, but I just love how quick it happened.
That seems pretty good. In like who did you bring with you? Oh no, it's Robot Man.
And like
Man.
Right at the beginning, Tally, as they're walking up to the door, she goes, do you think it's a good idea to bring a Geth with us? And as she says the word Geth, the door opens and all these dudes point guns at him.
Oh, that's so good, though. Like, it feels like a TV show or something like that. Do you think this is a good idea? No, but it's going to be funny.
And they're like, oh, what the fuck? And they tell you to put him back on the ship. And I'm like, no.
He's my bro. He's Legion. He's a robot man. Look at the cords on his arms.
I was just like, yo, y'all need to chill.
That's cool. I'm glad you're really enjoying Mass Effect. There's been so much negativity about that new one. I've been really excited to hear what you're thinking of.
It's making me appreciate 2 a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is an excellent game.
Yeah.
Front to back. Toe to tip.
Toe to tip. Yeah, it's great. Great. Cool. Glad you're enjoying it. Did you get any farther in Shadow of Mordor? I wanted to talk to you about that as well.
I did. I finally got to the second half of that fucking game.
Right. I completely forgot.
I started this game, this save, in like 2014, I believe, on Extra Life.
Yeah, I remember that. I think I do remember you playing that on Extra Life. Okay. So you made it to the second half.
Yeah, so one of the dudes that I had to fight could be damaged by combat finishers. And I was like, oh, well, fuck. The one time that I got to him, my targeting kept fucking up, and I kept targeting all the other dudes when I was doing the 20 seconds of executions. But I just went over there and was like, fuck it, pop that thing, and then just hammered on him, basically.
Okay. Did you ever get the possession thing, the dominate, the mind?
Yeah, you don't get that. You don't get that until the second half.
Oh, okay. I don't remember. That game kind of blurred together into one mass.
I was kind of bummed. Because Musoyan was like, hey, yo, just get this. It makes it easy. You don't get that till the second part of the game.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, it makes sense in a way, because it probably makes it super easy then, because then you can just roll in with a crew. But, yeah. I agree. Okay.
Well, I also ran into a pretty good bug, and I'm glad Shadowplay exists.
What was the bug? What happened? Did orcs become squiggly lines?
No. This is actually one of the very few bugs I've seen in this game.
Okay.
It was just, I was riding a Caragor in a story mission, and then I pounced on this dude, and the whole animation block of everything just kind of clipped through a rock, and then it shot me across this little area, and then into the sky, and I failed the mission because I left the mission area.
That's pretty good glitch. That's pretty good.
That mission failed as instant as well.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you really messed this one up. I don't know what you did.
I like the hint at the end. Stay near the guy.
Yeah.
No shit.
Well, you learned to fly with a Caragor. I guess that's good news. Oh, I guess the only other question I would have is, so what do you think of the second area? I really thought it was like, it went from kind of bland colors to suddenly like a lot of color all at once. Like yeah, it looked
I
like.
I wish it was the other way around. I wish the bigger area was the more colorful area. And then you get mm-hmm. to the second part and it's all dark because it's evil. And
yeah.
It's so small. That's how I would have, that'd been cool.
It was so surprising to go from like this kind of, I don't know, classical, like, Lord of the Rings, Mordor, dark, sulfur and volcanic activity stuff to, oh man, it's suddenly there's leaves and trees and grass. And yeah, there's a lot of orcs walking around, but at least there's, like, I don't know, seemed a little bit more like there's life. It was weird that second part of that game gets so much more colorful.
And the one thing I really like that I even noted to bring up on the show was that even with the 20 seconds of executions perk or ultimate or whatever you want to call it, I still have only seen the same execution animation like a handful of times. That's how many of them there are.
Hmm.
And I've got like 30 something hours in this game.
Yeah, man. Shadow Mordor, man, just so much to it.
Because they've got shit for every angle you come at a guy. Like,
coming on from below.
Back, or you like, yeah, you can take him down from hanging him off of a ledge or
stabby,
on
stabby.
A wall or something.
It's lots of stabbing the orcs in the face. It's a hell of a game, really. I mean, like, the amount of, like, I think we often, like, boil things down so much, but there's just so much to Shadow of Mordor. It's not just that one system that made it so good. It was, like, all the things combined. It's pretty great.
Combat, super fun. My sword now sometimes turns into fire instead of like the blue power.
Oh, fire.
And then I've noticed that I get even more new execution animations with that.
That seems cool. Yeah, I can't wait until like the next one comes out. I want more of that. I want more of that game.
Yeah, I finally went and watched. There was like a 16-minute gameplay video.
Mm-hmm.
I finally went and watched that, and now I'm stoked.
It's like they add RPG elements to it, and that's pretty cool. Like adding Diablo style like equipment upgrade and stuff. That sounds pretty all right. That makes me excited. Okay, I guess we'll see more probably at E3, right? So I'm excited.
Probably.
To see that. Cool. Well, that's all you played?
Pretty much.
Some great games.
Just still working on those too. Yep.
You pick some good ones.
Oh, and I installed Alpha Protocol, and I found a fix for the camera. Because the problem, I reinstalled it, and I knew I was going to run into this problem again. I couldn't remember what it was. And it's when you look around with the mouse, it stutters like a motherfucker.
Okay.
But if you use a controller, the camera is fine.
Oh, okay.
But I found a post on, like, game FAQs from, like, whenever the fuck this game came out.
I don't remember it at all, but that seems, yeah, Alpha Protocol. Tell me how that
game's a little rough like. Around the edges.
Uh-huh.
But it's fun.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about that next week when you get a chance to play it. Because, boy, I have some
thoughts on that. I like how when you're running around, you have 8 points of motion, and there's no like transition animation between them.
Right, yeah. We got to talk about Alpha Protocol. We'll talk about that next podcast. We'll sit down and talk about some Alpha Protocol.
Okay, I will play more
you
Alpha Protocol.
It'll be great. I guess we can move on to news. I guess we can move on to news, right?
Let's do it.
Da 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 news.
Just go to the news.
The news. Well, in our first news story of the afternoon. Hey, GameStop is going to close 150 stores in the United States. In the
surprising
States.
Nobody.
Yeah, pretty much, right? Like, there was too many GameStops for a long time, and when they started to struggle, people were like, yeah, I'm going to close a lot of stores. It's been surprising to, like, I don't know, see a bunch of stores like that. I think, you know, H.H. Gregg closed recently, and, like, watching kind of these big tech stores and stuff kind of struggle. Like, I would expect the next few years to see some Best Buys close and stuff. It's a different market now than it was even like 5 years ago for games and game related accessories.
Doesn't look like there's a list of stores yet.
No, not yet. Wait, oh man, we should have saved this from when Mary's on because it's a Texas based company. I didn't know that. Look at that. Yeah, it's just, you know, even though the Nintendo Switch seems to have sold pretty well for them, and there's some other stuff, in-store stuff they've been selling pretty well on, it's just not enough to keep a brick-and-mortar up anymore. Everybody's moved so digital, man, which is good and bad, I guess.
So, I was reading around on this, and it seems like there was just a really big oversaturation of GameStop stores. Like, some cities would have three within a couple miles.
It's the Starbucks problem, right? Where you would get the companies doing really well, so let's just keep opening stores, and as long as those stores can sustain themselves, it all ends up good at the time, but once the thing kind of takes a downturn, then you have all these stores and all this product, and it's just sitting there. And then it's like, well, what do you do? We have like three
GameStops. Get this. The Starbucks thing. Here in the city I live, mm-hmm. there is a Barnes & Noble that has a Starbucks in it. Across the parking lot, a very large parking lot, mind you, with some stores in between it. But there is a Starbucks in the Safeway. So these are within walking distance, just real short, maybe like mm-hmm. a city block. And then across the highway, there's a standalone Starbucks.
People love their Starbucks.
No, like, here's the thing. Out here, that we have a company called Dutch Brothers because they were founded in Southern Oregon. And that's what everybody gets here. Like, if you say you get Starbucks, you get jeered at, whatever the word is for that. You get the evil eye.
Like, I was going to ask, is there other coffee cafe chains in between those Starbucks as well?
There might be a Dutch Brothers out there, actually.
That's what we have here. While we don't have, like, multiple Starbucks in each city, there's, like, a Starbucks, a Costa, and then there's, like, three other smaller coffee chains, which are all undercutting Starbucks's price anyway.
And Dutch Brothers has the edge because they're just a drive up. They're like a little tiny coffee stand, but that's they're a chain. Cool. We've got like four of them here in town.
Is the coffee good? Like,
yeah, it's pretty good, but you don't see a whole lot of Starbucks in Southern Oregon. Like, I went to college down there, and it's Dutch Brothers everywhere.
That's probably pretty similar to something like Canada, where there's a lot more. Probably like Boston has a lot of Dunkin' Donuts.
Timmy Ho's.
Yeah, Timmy Ho's in Canada. And then, like, you go over Boston, there's a lot more Dunkin' Donuts. So it's probably like a saturation thing. But well, still, it's like, how
Martin's
many stores?
Is a Canadian company.
How many stores can you really open in such a small proximity of one another? It just don't make no sense.
Did GameStop, like, buy one of those things out, like EB Games
they
or something?
Did. Mm-hmm. And,
right.
And Software Etc., which I believe may have already been owned by EB Games or right. something at some point.
So could those...
Because there are... I've been to malls before where it says Software Etc. because nobody wanted to change up the sign because it was just, the Software Etc. signs were pretty dope, actually. They're like neon tubes, which were pretty neat. So people just left them because they look cool, but you go inside and it's a GameStop.
So, like, most of those have been rebranded, and that's how you got this nightmare zone of GameStops in every corner.
Yep.
Certainly, right? Plus, it's one of the few things people will walk into anymore. I mean, at least from personal experience, especially with the way the malls are now, like, people don't want to walk into clothing stores and stuff as much anymore, so it's certainly, like, franchise people to go like, oh, hey, we gotta have one of those here because people want to walk into game stores. People want to go over there rather than the freaking JCPenney's or whatever.
So, yeah, one of the, I think our GameStop equivalent is kind of getting away from those, like, pre-owned games as well, because they used to have just all of them kind of in the back, like, behind them in drawers, but lately all the 360 games and the PS3, like, discs are just on the boxes, on the shelves. Like, they
here,
don't
steal these!
That. Yeah, but, like, they're also charging, like, $2, $3 for them, so, like,
holy shit,
don't care anymore.
What do they do with all those if all these stores start closing? You know, you can move the new games over that other game stuff, but, like, a bunch of used games? Like, that's going to pile up at a certain point, right?
I would keep a close eye on dumpster diving YouTube channels in the coming months.
Yeah, there's a good point.
Is it?
Is there actually a dumpster diving subreddit? That's
Where people go into, like, go to, like, places where they throw out expensive shit. or like stuff that has value still. Lots of GameStops, Best Buys, that kind of shit.
I would hope that they can do something with some of those, like even if it's just giving them away, like, you know.
I think a lot of them do. A lot of them do. Like, they'll donate stuff to Goodwill. They'll be like, here's what I got, here's what I'm going to keep, the rest of it's going to Goodwill.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. Yeah, that'd be cool. I'd be quite in the market for a bunch of free games if somebody was going to just like, here you go. Somebody just had a garbage bag filled with free games. I might take it. I might take them all. Cool. I guess if you're looking for free games, I guess this is good news. But if you work for GameStop, I'm sorry. Your job is becoming less necessary. I'm sorry. I don't know. GameStop will be around forever. Don't worry. You'll probably be fine. Everything's going to be fine. Just don't worry about it. Don't think about it. Everything's going to be fine. All right. Next news story.
Right.
So, how about that there? We're going to talk about a little bit of Pokemon news. How about that? We'll be going to Pokemons next, since that's the thing that GameStop relies so much on. We're talking about them in relation to the Switch. It seems that their Game Freak is hiring for a Switch-based Pokemon. They have a bunch of job openings on their website, on their game career site, that says, like, hey, we're working on something. Seems like there's a Pokemon game coming. It's a Pokemon game. Are you going to buy a Pokemon game, Optics?
Yeah, sure. I wouldn't, even if it's just like Pokemon Sun and Moon HD or whatever, I'll buy that because I didn't get it before anyway.
Yeah, like
why wouldn't you buy a Pokemon game? They're still really good.
My one concern is, I don't know how they're gonna, how do you make a console-focused Pokemon game? I want to see what they do with that.
Here's the secret. It's still on a portable device. The Switch is suddenly making sense. Like, they already have, like, the whatever, even if they don't recreate Pokemon Sun, they've dabbled with the, like, HD asset building in Pokemon Sun. So even if they go into a whole new game, they've had people try experience that. So they're stepping in that direction, clearly.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I thought it was cool news from if there's a way to sell out all their new Switches they're making, it's a Pokemon game.
Right. People want it this year. I want it this year, but I don't expect it this year.
No, me either.
There's fucking Splatoon 2 and Mario to sell this thing this year. They can have it handily come out like March next year. That'll keep the Switch like train a rolling.
Yeah, keep the Switch train a rolling. I don't know. I doubt it's this year. I have no idea what they announced at E3 this year. We'll have to talk about that once it gets closer to E3. But man, what do you announce? What's your big ticket besides from Mario? What's your big ticket?
Pokemon.
Pokemon, I guess. Yeah.
Shigeru Miyamoto walks out on the stage, says something along the lines of "We told you, motherfuckers," and then just drops the mic, and then money falls out of the ceiling.
Oh, like, so the reason
they
go to
E3. Do a lot. E3 Nintendo, they can either show off a lot and like kill it, or fucking kill it and show off nothing. There's Mario Party's perfect for the Switch. Like a WarioWare type game is good for the Switch. So many like their 4-player focused, like after your basketball game, fuck around with the Switch. There's a lot of games that they can utilize there. They still have to show off a bunch more Fire Emblem, a bunch more Mario. They can probably finalize stuff on Splatoon 2. Their E3 looks like they can make it super stacked.
Yeah, they could do some. I'm sure they're planning something, and it seems like it could be Pokemon related. We could talk about Battle.net is now called Blizzard.
Okay.
Is that cool? That's good news? That's eh. Not really big news, but that's the kind of news we're dealing with this week.
Yeah. It was weird seeing it on my taskbar change to that icon that you can barely read because it's squished.
Yeah, why the hell is it squished? Why change it? I still don't know. Why change it? Just stick with Battle.net. It's fine. It's gravy. It's cool.
Mine still says Battle.net.
Don't ever update it.
Don't ever update it. don't know. I liked Battle.net more than Blizzard, but maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just me. We could talk about that new Call of Duty that got rumored. Because we're at that point in this. So I guess they're saying World War II for the 2017 Sledgehammer Games Call of Duty game. That's the rumor. That's the speculation.
Are you serious?
That's not a lie.
That's the rumor, yeah.
That's the real rumor.
Like, I fucking love that that's the title.
There's no confirmation at this time. Title. But, you know, you're looking at box art and stuff like that. It looks kind of legit. It looks kind of legit. I mean, you know, as much as you can confirm something, it seems like it's a real leak. So I
get the Ouroboros that is Call of Duty has finally come to completion.
It's come a full circle.
It is eating its tail.
If there's ever a time for a World War II game return, it's now. I feel like I could totally get on board with this. I mean,
it's really weird, but from Battlefield 3, as much as it was early, but the Battlefield crew kind of fucking called it, and Battlefield overtook Call of Duty. Like, say what you will about 3, it was a better game than the Call of Duties that came out, but the fan base still was there. Yeah, it was dope, but the fan base was still with Call of Duty. Now it seems like Battlefield's just taken over. Like, they were the first to go back with Battlefield 1, which is kind of cool and quote-unquote more original than fucking World War II, and now Call of Duty's back on this bandwagon.
The Battlefield 3 open beta was what finally corrected my inverted mouse syndrome. Because you couldn't change it. There was no option.
Wow.
Or it was a closed beta or something. I don't remember. But I had to play normal, and I just got fucking used to it. Never looked back.
Yeah, the normal way. It's the right way.
I wonder how much this is.
Yeah.
I understand how people who play with inverted stuff, I understand how their mind works. Because that's I started. I started there. So I get it.
Yeah, I mean, I get from where they're coming from a, hey, this futuristic stuff's not doing very well for us. We're losing so much market share from, Advanced Warfare on that them just going, you know what, let's just actually go back all the way and do this thing. I'm all right with that, man. I wish I'd go back to Modern Warfare, but whatever. Do what you want, Call of Duty.
If you pay, probably $100 now, you can get that add-on thing with this current Call of Duty to get Modern Warfare 1.
When will that be available by itself is what I want to know.
I have no clue, but I noticed a couple days ago that they added a DLC pack for that exclusive thing, bringing back more of the old maps into that remastered Modern Warfare thing. It's just really weird. DLC.
Those fuckers.
Exclusive downloadable content.
Exclusive downloadable content you can only get by buying this other game. It's gonna be great.
Right. And I've seen that game separately, whatever the hell it is. I've even forgotten the name of it. Fucking Future War or some shit. For $10. But the double pack stays at $60 to $70.
Motherfuckers.
Yeah, I'm ready to play. I get probably pretty excited at an E3 press conference since they just did Call of Duty World War II. I like that movie Dunkirk that's coming out. That looks cool.
You're aware that Call of Duty started as a World War II game, right?
I am aware. I played that game
okay.
a lot.
Okay, because you're talking like you're not. So
I feel right with that. It'd be cool. I don't know. No, it would be funny if I wasn't, though. It was just like, what? Oh, I thought they just started Modern Warfare.
I would leave. I would leave and never come back.
I could see some really young people just jumping into Call of Duty Modern Warfare, thinking that's the first game. Fucking who remembers Big Red 1?
Oh, man. I remember.
Nobody, because it was an offshoot that was only on PS2.
Let me tell you about the times I've walked in GameStop and there's Big Red 1 is always there in the corner of the store. It's just always I don't know, I would always notice it for some reason. I'd be like, why is that game still here? It's been months, hasn't it? And it just kept staying there. It was always in the corner of this store, just staring at me. I still haven't played. I should go back and play Big Red 1 at some point, just because, why the hell not?
Don't.
Do it. Let's play Big Red 1 together. No, we're all going to play. We all have
to
do...
I'm pretty sure that was only a PlayStation game, right? PlayStation 2?
Oh, was it? I mean, you could probably emulate it, though, right? Gotta be. Gotta be. Also, can I just say, if they do some cool multiplayer stuff with, like, a Landing of Normandy, I'd be all right with that. That'd be pretty cool.
They already did that, though!
Yeah. Yeah, 100% did.
But do it again!
They did that already! All of this already.
Hey, remember jumping out of a plane?
Yeah, I do.
Pretty dope.
That was pretty cool.
I do, because it happened. It didn't look nearly as good, but it already happened.
What if they did it again?
What if it's just the same game again?
Right. What if it's just a best of, like, all these moments just segregated, but, like, the sick, sick moments?
I'd be so on board with that. Oh my god. It's not even like they admit it. It's just like, yeah, we're just what? We're making a new World War II game. What? What's the problem? I don't understand. Oh, goodness. It's going to be great. I can't wait. I can't wait. We're going to play Normandy together, guys.
I gotta respect the decision, because that takes some fucking balls to do that.
Yeah, I mean,
we're just going to make another World War II game, just like double middle fingers up to everybody.
We're just going to do it. Hi, hello.
God damn it. Fuck.
I think that'd be cool if they made one studio kind of do a World War II or a classical era kind of a war game, and then you have your modern warfare, and then you have your future thing. It would give people, like, at least different options or something like that to play around with, rather than it just being... I don't know. I haven't been inspired to play a Call of Duty game since Modern Warfare probably 2 or whatever. So giving people different choices is, I think, cool. Especially for such a series that's been so long running.
I can't fucking believe
it. It'd be cool. Get ready. Get ready to storm the beaches of Normandy again. Get ready. We're going back. We have to go back.
Again.
To the island, Jack. Something, I don't know. Right. Ah, well, we got some fun out of our system. Now let's talk about JonTron. That's fun, right?
Let's not.
Okay, let's move on. I would very
just
much
say
prefer
it's news.
No, let's talk about StarCraft.
Let's talk about StarCraft remastered announcement. So they're remastering StarCraft. That's pretty cool. I don't know if you know this, but StarCraft's a gold game with bad graphics.
I like that they're also doing, what was the expansion? Brood War?
Yeah, Brood War, yeah.
And seeing all these people's reactions to what the little things were supposed to be has been so good. People are like, holy shit, I had no idea there was a guy piloting this thing.
It looks pretty good from at least like the little clips or whatever they have of the upgrade. It looks pretty clean. I kind of thought they were going to do a whole, like, from the ground up remake, but this is cool. It's like a little graphical overhaul. Makes everything look pretty.
There's a few, seconds of them, like, just pulling back the screen, like, super far to see a whole, like, fight happen. I wonder if pros are going to take advantage of that to micro even fucking further.
The Koreans will do it. You know that. If there is any chance they could do something, they'd do it. Yeah, so, I don't know, it's cool. I haven't played much StarCraft 2 anymore. I think it's kind of dying slowly in a corner. So, and at least anecdotally, I've heard people kind of going back to the first StarCraft as this one slowly kind of dies out. So, it'd be cool for those people. Also, it's going to be free-to-play or something like that. Something like that. There'll be a new patch or something like that, and the original game
something
will be
like
free-to-play. Something like that. Something like that. Sounds like it. I read that somewhere. Somebody said that. Which is cool. Whatever. Hey, StarCraft. There's people that still love that game a lot. I'm glad for them. Also, can I just say... What? I don't like the way the Broodlings look still. The Zerglings or whatever. They just don't look right to me. They're not what I imagined they look like. That's all. That's all I got to say. They just don't look right. They always kind of look like dogs to me, but then, like, they look like tentacle weird looking things with feet, and that's weird. I don't know. That's just me. Alright. Guess that's all the news, pretty much. We're not going to talk about this JonTron thing, are we?
No.
No. No. We can talk about Yooka-Laylee, though.
Okay.
Ukulele is a game that looks like it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's coming out pretty soon. Go check it out. It's a lot of fun. We're not talking about this JonTron thing. I'm actually going to just delete it from our news. So if you're like, hey, why is this not concluded in the news section of the podcast? It's just not going to be there. Just want you to know that. It's going to be gone.
Because Google exists.
Because no. We have standards here at Realms of Baghdad. They are low standards, but they're standards. Okay. Well, I think that's pretty much it. Unless you guys have anything else you really want to talk about. I kind of figured it would be a short podcast. Not a lot of news out there in the world. Everybody's kind of having their deep breath on the old thing here. After all the games in the world got released in like a 3-week period, we're all kind of having a come down moment from the euphoria of the crazy games thing, and now into what?
Bring
next
it
week?
Home.
Next week is Persona, or the week after?
Bring it home.
Bring it home.
Jeez, Persona. Yeah.
Persona's next week, right?
Who here? Are you gonna play Persona now you have a PS4?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the game I'm buying. Yeah. Of course.
I got that pre-ordered.
Yep, we're all gonna get down on that. I can't wait to talk to you about Persona. It's gonna be so bad though, because it's
gonna
suck.
Be fun. We're gonna have to keep like, what date are you on?
Yeah.
Like, an awkward like, how far are you on this S-Link? It's gonna be weird stuff like that for the first couple weeks, I think.
Spoilers are gonna be rampant. Rampant. I've warned people. When we talk about Persona on this podcast, can't avoid some kind of spoilers, so be prepared. Alright, that's been Realms of Baghdad. I've been your host, Albie/Thowden. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Realms of Baghdad. Have a good week.
I have no out.